much for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. Well, you no doubt read of or heard about the story about how Vice President Pence will not eat alone with another woman other than his wife, and he will not attend events where they serve alcohol unless she accompanies him. Have you read that story? Where he will not eat alone with another woman other than his wife. He won't attend events that serve alcohol unless he's got his wife with him. Tell me what you think of that idea. And let me know this, too. Is it okay if you're married to have friendships with those of the opposite sex? What are your thoughts? My guests today are Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family. We're going to tackle this issue with them. But, you know, they're gutsy people, so we're opening the phone lines. They want to hear what you say. We want to keep a nice tone to the conversation, so just let that be known. But we welcome your opinion and your thoughts and your insights. So on your mark, get set. Let's hear from you. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. What do you think of Vice President Pence's boundary? Billy Graham also had the boundary. He wouldn't even get in an elevator alone with a woman. What do you think about that? And can you be friends with someone of the opposite sex when you're married? 877-933-2484. A couple quick announcements before we get the Smalleys on. One, I will be in the Fargo-Moorhead area on May 5th and 6th. I would love to meet you face-to-face. The Friday night event on May 5th at First Assembly is for guys and gals. And I'll be talking about the power and the call of God on your life, the purpose for your life. Then May 6th, it's just the first half of the day, Saturday, for women only. I would love to see you. You can check out information on First Assembly's website or on my Facebook page, facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. Also, we are so excited. Momentum is a rolling for our Faith Radio Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. We've got 420 people registered. I'm hoping and believing and praying for 600 to 700. I really think it's quite possible. It's Saturday, July 15th. Liz Curtis Higgs is our keynote speaker. We've got an amazing lineup of faculty. Super amazing opportunity for you to come face to face with editors, agents, and experts in the field for a one day only. We've made it very affordable. I hope you'll commit. I hope you come. I would love to meet you face to face, and I know our whole staff would. So super excited about that. We've dedicated a whole website to this conference, Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. com. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. His books include The DNA of Relationships, The DNA of Parent and Teen Relationships, Wholehearted Marriage. There's many more, but those are a few. Erin Smalley is Program Director at Focus on the Family. She's an author speaker based in Colorado Springs, and she works with her husband, Greg, doing marriage intensives and seminars. Erin also does women's retreats, so if you're looking for a women's retreat speaker, you really ought to call her. She's an amazing speaker, hilarious and funny and full of great content. And they, as I said, are based out of Colorado Springs. They've got a family of four, and you can find their influencer page at our website, myfaithradio.com. Dear Greg and Aaron, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Suzy, for having us once
again.
You're brave.
Oh, I love having you on so very much. I see a couple calls coming in. I'll give Aaron a chance to process those. But before we get into this very hot topic, and I love this because you two really never shy away from hard conversations. I love that. But let's talk scripture if we can. Do you have a verse you've been thinking about, either one of you?
Yes, I cannot think of a better verse than Hebrews 13:4. It's one of our favorites, especially in light of what we're talking about today. And it says marriage should be honored by all. Mm. And I love that because there are so many ways that we can honor our own marriage through setting boundaries and, you know, having appropriate expectations and how we can honor our spouse, but specifically our marriage. And then also, how can we honor others' marriages? And we're called to this in Scripture, in Hebrews. And so I want to just lay that foundation and start there.
Perfect. Wow. What do you say, Greg?
You know, I love Matthew 19:9, where it talks about, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one, so that they are no longer two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man or woman separate. And so I love that's rich in terms of what we're talking about today, because I do think that part of the leaving and cleaving process, there are certain relationships we need to leave, we need to cleave, we need to cut, we need to separate as we go into our marriage. And so we are redefining old relationships now that we are married. So part of it is thinking through, how have I left certain relationships? Am I prioritizing my marriage? But then also what God has brought together, let no man, no woman separate. So as far as, you know, how does that then apply to relationships that we will have with the opposite sex?
Wow.
And
so well, yeah, that's a great angle. Yeah.
Well, I try not to disappoint you.
Susie. Yeah. You just better keep
it up. You are one of my friends.
877-933-2484. So we pitched the question, is it okay to have friends of the opposite sex? And these two just made a really great case that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, let no man separate. We've got an anonymous caller from St. Paul wants to chime into the conversation. Hey, friend, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing well. So you heard the question. I'm curious what you think so far.
Well, I am a divorced female whose husband, when I was married, he would spend time with single females, and we talked about it and said that it would be dangerous and that it could lead to affairs, and he kept saying no, but it's very tempting, and it did lead to at least one affair that I know of. That's not the only reason why we got divorced, but that is one of the reasons. And I'm understanding that in his new marriage, he's spending time with single females again, which is a very dangerous thing that I've seen. I think you can have friends, and I've worked with mostly men, so I know you can have friends that are males or females. But being alone with them is where you have the dangerous part.
I can't thank you enough for the courage to share your story. And I'm so sorry for what you've walked through. But I'm going to hand it over to Greg and Aaron now. I'd love for you guys to talk to this dear woman.
Yes, I agree with what you just said, Susie. I am so sorry. That just sounds enormously painful, especially when you saw the danger in the choice of the behavior. And the truth is, you know, we can voice our opinions, we can share our opinions, and our spouse gets to decide what they do with that. And, you know, we can't control what they do or do not do. So I am so sorry. I'm guessing you've been through a lot of heartache over that's the scenario you shared.
Mm. What about you, Greg?
You know, Susie, well, one of the things that I think is key that we really want to talk about is when I like her perspective that she's saying, hey, I'm not saying you sever every relationship you have with the opposite sex, that you ignore the opposite sex. That's not reality. What she's saying is that it's important for a husband and wife to sit down, talk this through, and come to what is that going to look like for us? Are there certain boundaries? Because I tell you, Susie, one of the main things that Aaron and I have agreed on is that Aaron and me, we both have what we, let's call it a trump card, no reference to our president, but the trump card means that if there's ever a time that Aaron feels uncomfortable, feels strange, she gets that gut feeling about a someone of the opposite sex that somehow, you know, we have a friendship or at work, whatever, that she can say to me anytime, you know what, honey, I just don't feel comfortable with that relationship, and I will accept her influence.
Amen.
I'm not going to argue with her. I'm not going to debate that. I'm not going to tell her that, oh, you're just being paranoid, controlling, you know, jealous. That is what we've agreed on, that she has that right. I have that right. Because I tell you, there is not a single relationship on this earth that would be worth damaging my marriage.
Amen.
There's not. And if you think otherwise, man, you got to start there. You got to check your heart around that. There's not a relationship worth damaging my marriage, my relationship with my wife, to damage the trust and security that I want her to feel.
Wow. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. After we take this next call, we'll take a short break and want to come back and just chime in about all of the backlash that Vice President Pence and his wife endured because of this boundary around their marriage. What a day we live in. But Jean's checking in from Stillwater, chiming into the conversation. Hey, Jean, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you for having me, Susie.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us about what are your thoughts on this perspective of male-female friendships outside the context of marriage?
Well, first of all, I really respect our Vice President Pence even more for taking that stand. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much what my husband and I have done for 35 years. And I can tell you it builds trust in a relationship. We trust each other. We do have friends of the opposite sex, and you can have friends of the opposite sex, but we, when I visit a friend of the opposite sex, usually my husband is with me. It's like we've got no secrets in that regard, and we conduct ourselves appropriately. And one of the things that we think about is the scripture that says you have to avoid the appearance of evil.
Yeah.
Because as a Christian, you have to hold to a higher standard than the rest of the world, and you have to avoid what maybe other people could construe as inappropriate behavior. So in a session where we're maybe talking to someone that we is of the opposite sex, we would have a door open, like in an office setting, we'd have a door open. We would, you know, there would be accountability all around us, so we couldn't be accused of anything as well.
Wow.
Even though we weren't doing anything, we would avoid an accusation. And I think as Christians, we're just held to a higher standard because people want to look at our life and evaluate it and maybe find fault.
Well, Jean, I love that you said how you put accountability all the way around you. And that's so different than let's see how close to the edge we can go and we're still going to be in control and be okay. I want to give one of you, Greg or Aaron, a minute to chime in, and then we'll have to pause for our break here. We want to say anything to Jean.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, Jean, and I so appreciate you taking that stand in your marriage and honoring your marriage in that way. And, you know, what I love is that you have built over 35 years, congratulations, by the way, trust and safety in your relationship. And I that's what Greg and I have done. We're going to hit 25 years here, that it's safe for me to say, you know what, I'm not comfortable with that. And I know that he is going to respect my opinion and vice versa. And there's something that is so enriching to a marriage when we know that we both matter and that we both are fighting for this marriage relationship. You know, there's Greg, there's me, and then there's this marriage, and we both need to be protecting it, honoring it, and fighting for it.
I love it. Can I get an amen? And I think the Smalley's idea of a trump card, every marriage, every couple in the marriage, we should have one of those, right? Where you can say, I don't feel comfortable with this. Nothing is worth jeopardizing the marriage. Great advice from Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family. We're going to continue this conversation on the other side. I want to talk to you guys about just the backlash that they endured. And this shows you the day that we're in, that it's like the things that we hold dear and sacred are mocked, and the things that just defy God's heart are legislated. And Lord, help us to be able to have courage to live in this day that we're called to. More with Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley when we return.
Something good.
Love that song. That was Mandisa. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our very dear friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family. What we're talking about today is a different angle, and I really love it. They wanted to talk about the whole blow up around Vice President Pence's boundaries around his marriage, that he will not dine with another woman except for his wife. He will not attend events where alcohol is served unless his wife is with him. And I am telling you what, you would have thought he dropped a bomb somewhere because the backlash was so incredible. That partially speaks to the world that we're in right now, because right is wrong and wrong is right, and our shame is our glory, as the Bible predicted. But let's talk about some of the legitimate arguments that we read in some of these articles, Greg and Aaron, where it's like women saying, you know, if a woman made those boundaries, she would never be able to climb the corporate ladder, so to speak. She would never be able to make those stipulations. So how is a woman supposed to be working with men with those kinds of boundaries? How do you play that out? Aaron, what do you say?
You know, I think there's a healthy perspective to look at with all of this, because I've heard different scenarios. There was a friend of mine who contacted me working at a Christian ministry, and some of the higher level men were refusing to meet with women. And they're like, okay, how are we supposed to get our job done? Because if we can't meet with you, we can't get direction and guidance. And, you know, I think that that can, you know, be taken to an extreme. But, you know, where's the healthy balance with this? You know, I loved what Jean, our caller earlier, that said, you know, we meet with the door open. You know, at Focus here, we have windows in the doors. And so it's there's safeguards that we can put in place. And, you know, when you have that agreement in your marriage that, you know, hey, if you're uncomfortable with something, you know, Greg, you let me know and I will respect that and honor that in whatever way I can. And so I think there's balance in all of it. And I mean, absolutely, a woman can continue to climb the corporate ladder as long as she's also honoring her marriage if she's married and honoring the man's marriage who she's meeting with, you know, so having those appropriate boundaries in place.
Very good. What do you say, Greg?
Well, I on one level, I definitely understand there's certain types of careers, you know, take politics, for example, might be a career that success, promotion, all that is dependent upon those kinds of interactions that you just don't have other opportunities for. You know, it's not true at all for the industry that Aaron and I work in. So, I mean, I get that there's some legitimate concern there, but I tell you this, that on, you know, I'm the vice president of marriage here at Focus. I have a 100% all female team, including my wife. I have my two directors that report to me are both female, and I promise you that I am 100% committed to their growth, their development, and their advancement. As a matter of fact, both of my direct reports have been promoted under my leadership. And I'm proud of that, and I'm excited for that, and I'm committed to that. I understand the value of opposite sex friendships. God created us to be in relationship with others. And so, you know, when King Solomon talked about where there is no guidance, a people fall, in abundance of counselors, their safety. He's just not referring to the same sex. And so it's critical that we understand that why value our female team. I see the tremendous perspective and value and strength that they bring to that team. And at the same time, this is something that Aaron and I talk through. Yeah, I would never take one of my female direct reports out for coffee alone for, you know, to meet, to have our, you know, one-on-one meeting. I would never take one of my direct reports alone to eat a meal. Mm-hmm. I would never travel alone with one of my direct reports. The times that I've needed to travel, we take separate planes. And there's in Focus, by the way, has some really good rules around this as well. But the point is, Susie, is that Aaron and I have talked this through. And so even if there's a woman listening going, well, that's great for you, but, you know, I need those one-on-one times with my supervisor to be able to get that advancement, then you know what? So talk that through. Make it very open. Maybe your husband could join you. If not, then talk that through with your spouse and go, what kind of boundaries do we need in place? As long as it's open, there's no secrets, and you have your spouse's blessing, that's totally appropriate.
So that's good. Aaron, it makes me think, and I might be wrong here, and this is maybe for another show, another day, but could it be that in that particular ministry, men won't meet with women? Because there's some old school religion kind of thing where women just can't be anywhere, be seen, can't be heard. And so we really aren't going to meet with you because you don't really have anything to say. I mean, I
and
pray
I'm not even going to laugh at that because
on.
I hate that.
I do too.
Because of what you both, I know both of you, and I know what you bring. And that would be an unfortunate thing if that's what another ministry was trying to push.
And I'm just saying that actually does happen.
I know it does. I hate it.
And I don't have a feminist chip on my shoulder, but I'm saying, Aaron, in a situation like that, would then you advise her? Because the culture is the culture. How would you advise her?
You know, I actually did advise her, and I actually had another one of our team members who's been in secular situations with men and women and then also working within a ministry. And, you know, both of us said, you know what, you take initiative to say, these are the safeguards we're putting in place. I want the door open when I'm meeting with you to the men. And, you know, let's set this up. Or if we need a third person to sit in the room while we're meeting, if that makes you more comfortable, okay, even if she didn't agree with that. And so I guess as a team, they talked it out and they came up with the boundaries they want in place for their meetings, their one-on-ones, and they worked it through, which was awesome. I love that. And again, it's the openness that you even to address that amongst a team to say, how are we going to fight for each other's marriages? How are we going to honor each other's marriages? How are we going to show up when we're meeting one-on-one, when we need to discuss something and setting the limits? Because here it's known, you know, that you don't travel together. You don't stay at the same hotel. You don't drive in the same rental car. And so there's boundaries that Focus have put in place, and you have to sign off on this when you join staff here. So
I love that.
It's known that these are the safeguards because we want to protect marriages.
And you think about, again, even Billy Graham, all those years ago, and we weren't as morally imploded then as we are now. But right. I mean, the guff that he took, and yet he was faithful to his wife unto her death. I mean, they were a solid unit. And it's interesting to me how the people that will scoff at, even Christians, it's like, what really are you scoffing at? Because this is solid protection. I mean, what other relationship or freedom is so important that you would jeopardize your marriage, Greg? I mean, just thoughts?
Well, his message to the world was that next in my relationship with God, my wife is my next priority. And this is what we've thought through. This is what we've agreed on. And so I don't know how those discussions went. I don't know how they arrived at sort of his stance, but they did somehow. And so that's what Aaron and I have actually taken away, is to go, you know, we may not be as strict with where we've landed, and we're not. But we've talked it through. And I think that's the key. Are we willing as a couple to have these kinds of tough discussions to where we're going to lay it all out and we're going to go into it with a attitude of, you're my teammate, you're my wife, you are the most important relationship next to God. So let's figure this out in a way that feels good to both of us. Because at the end of the day, Susie, I've landed on three things around this. That with Aaron, I want this 100% relationships, friendships with the opposite sex will be completely open. So there's no secrecy. Aaron would know. Like, for example, if I need to contact one of her friends, or if I have a question about something that I know one of her friends has dealt with or something, I'll say, hey, Aaron, do you care can I call so-and-so? And I just want to check something out. So no secrecy.
That's excellent.
I want her blessing, and then I'm going to accept her influence.
No secrecy. I want her blessing and accept her influence. When we come back, anonymous caller, in his marriage, he says his wife accused him of having an emotional affair with another guy. He's calling anonymously, wants to tell us his story. Maybe off of that, we may talk a little bit about what happens when there's a kind of an insecurity in the marriage that maybe is not even founded. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family about safe boundaries around marriage, fighting for your marriage. We'll take that anonymous call in just a moment. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a really fascinating conversation with our good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family. We opened with that whole conversation around Vice President Pence and his boundaries around his marriage, that he will not dine with another woman except for his wife. He will not attend events where alcohol is served unless his wife is present. And just the backlash and the blow up around boundaries around marriage. Well, now we've got an interesting scenario from an anonymous caller. And if you want to chime in at a conversation, you can call anonymously. How do you feel about boundaries around marriage? Are they hyper vigilant? Is it coming out of insecurity, or is it really coming out of wisdom? 877-933-2484. You're on the air. Thanks for calling today.
Hi, Susie. Thanks for all you do. I've been listening, and my own experience is a little bit different. I understand, your focus on opposite sex relationships, but actually a big rift in my marriage that contributed to my now current separation, among other things, was actually a relationship with one of my guy friends who was a guy in need. He happens to have a lot going on in his life and had some needs for some help and so on. And I spent not a lot of time looking after his needs and trying to help him through his troubles, but it was enough to cause a problem in my relationship. The bottom line was that I was helping him when my wife thought I ought to be helping her, and in hindsight, I really wasn't being attentive enough to her needs, and I think that kind of problem crosses over in not just in relationships, but also guys who get caught up in sports or a lot of other activities, too.
Wow. I'm going to keep you on the line in case Greg and Aaron have more questions for you. Greg, Aaron, what do you say?
Well, I think his point is great, which is, you know, it's not just going to be opposite sex friendships that could create a real difficulty in the marriage. It could be same sex. It could be a hobby. It could be TV. It could be a lot of things. In other words, what I was hearing is that he finally had a revelation to kind of go, you know what? At the end here, I'm thinking, you know, there was maybe some truth. Maybe there was a way in which that I wasn't really being attentive. And I love that message, because as a guy, one of the hardest things for me to do at times is to really accept my wife's influence. And women have a truly unique gift to gauge where the relationship's at, the health of a marriage. Just consistently, there's great research that shows that women just have a great natural intuition. And there are times that Aaron will approach me around maybe that I'm not being attentive to her needs, that I'm missing something, that maybe my focus priorities feel like they're out of balance, focused on something else, or if it's a concern about a relationship, male or female. And I have a choice in that matter. Either am I willing to put aside my defensiveness, my rationalization, my questioning her and her jealousy, and you're just trying to control me? Or am I really willing to dig in and say, Aaron, I want to understand this? I may at a top level go, I don't agree with this. But am I willing to really say, you know what, God, I trust you that this person, this amazing wife that you've given me, has great intuition. Am I willing to really listen, explore that? And at the end, if it's something we can't agree on, then let's go get help around that. Because if I'm missing something, or maybe it's all based on one of her own issues. But the bottom line is that I want to be a husband who's willing to accept his wife's influence, to really listen and get what is her real concern and explore that. And that's part of how we have a healthy marriage.
Well, Aaron, before you chime in, I want to go back to this anonymous caller and just ask him, you know, as you've understood that your wife maybe wanted or needed some attention from you that she wasn't getting, is that softening her heart? I mean, are you getting anywhere in reconciling the relationship as you look in hindsight?
Not really. She, to her credit, she tried for a lot of years to explain to me, tell me, but I did take a defensive position, and I was in denial, and I'm like, why does she want to change me? And unfortunately, through my attitudes, a lot of damage has been done. And
so sorry.
It may very well be too late at this point.
You know,
we're living apart. She's bought a house and so on. But, I mean, I'm dependent on God at this point.
Yeah. I just want to tell you, at the lowest point in our marriage, that was the issue, is Kev was a hero to everybody but me 15, 17 years ago. And the rebuilding was significant. And so it's still not impossible. And before we hang up, I want to pray for you, because it's just still nothing's impossible with God. But, Aaron, did you have a word of encouragement for this dear brother today?
Yeah, I appreciate your tenderness around this and your willingness to really evaluate, to self-reflect, and to
humble.
Say, this is what I could have done differently.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is always hope. that God could do a miracle. You know, here at Focus, we have a program called Hope Restored, and it's for couples that are in crisis. Typically, the majority of them have filed for divorce, and, they're just willing to do one more thing, to know that, either this is going to work or it's not. 85% of those couples end up staying together. So I encourage you to look into that. But I just appreciate your heart. And, we can pray that your wife's heart softens and, that a heart of stone can turn to flesh.
Indeed.
And for whatever reason she got there, she got there. And so we can just pray that God could turn this around.
Well, Father, we do lift up this dear brother, and we lift up his wife right now, and we all together, thousands and thousands of us, lean in, and we just ask you, God, minister to her heart. I pray that you'd show her that truly that you are her ultimate source, that her hope is in you, and I pray you'd soften her hardened heart. Mm-hmm. I pray that you give her fresh eyes through which to see her husband and his repentant heart. I pray that you give her vision for years down the road of what a reconciled marriage would be like and do for her and for her community. And I just ask you, God, move in her heart. Speak to her in the night hours when she's sleeping. Put people in her path that affirm your life-giving truth. And in the name of Jesus, we ask you, cut off every relationship in her life that's lying to her. In Jesus' name, we pray, surround her with your favor, with your protection. And for this dear brother, I ask you to give him strategic wisdom about how to nurture this relationship in its fragile state. I pray you give him a heart of faith for the impossible. And I do pray that there'll be a day that he calls us back and he can testify to a redeemed marriage. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And one more thing I got to say to you, friend, is there was somebody else when last time, Smalley's were on years ago, and they were on, and somebody was in a similar situation as you, and they are now reconciled and doing well. And they were right exactly where you are now. And so nothing's impossible. Greg, did you want to say another word?
Well, I did. I mean, the verse that came to my mind that I just wanted to share with my brother is the verse where God says that he opposes the proud but gives his grace to the humble. And I can just hear it.
Yeah.
You can just feel it, that you've been broken, that God's given you some real good awareness that you're owning your part, and that's humility. And I believe that God's going to give you that grace. What that will look like, I don't know. And I'm like Susie, that I can't wait to hear about how he uses that grace in both of your life. But but boy, keeping that posture, I think that could be the first step in your journey together back to that kind of marriage you guys both want.
Well, bless you, dear one. Thank you for calling. We're going to grab another anonymous call. Thank you so much for calling. You're on the air.
Yes. Is it me?
Yes, it's you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I just have had an experience that I want to encourage someone who is maybe wondering what to do. My dad happened to have ladies that he worked with. They were called years ago office girls, and finally he did have to had to hire another one, and happened to be a divorcee with five children. And finally, one night at supper time, he kind of mentioned this lady's name and kind of talked a minute about her. Finally, it led to being suspicious of him and her, and maybe my dad thinking too much of her. And then it led to him working at night. And my mother and I went over to the office where he worked, and sure enough, she was there too. And pretty soon my mother, couldn't take anymore, so they got a divorce. And he married this lady right away. He knew the wrong that had been done and knew what he should do. He married her. And just within, it broke our hearts. He had to leave church. My mother felt like she couldn't stay there. She had to leave church and find somewhere else to go. And then it was within about 3 years after he had gotten married to this lady, he died. And I believe maybe God was just calling a halt. God allowed this. We're trusting my father made it right with God before you know, he died, but it was working with another woman was not the right thing.
Well, first of all, thank you for calling, and I'm so sorry for the backlash of what you and your family had to deal with in this. Thank you for having the courage to share this story. Greg and Aaron, when I've had Dave Carter on before, he counsels families who've been affected by infidelity, and he calls this thing corporate dating. He says it's so epidemic right now, and basically what that means is, especially if you travel for work, this is slightly different, but similar in that he says you're on the business account, so you're dressed up. Work is somebody else is paying your bill, so the drinks and the food just flow, and you're with the opposite sex, and what? It's a business meeting. He said corporate dating is the number one cause of infidelity in the people that he's counseling right now. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm.
It really is. And that's why I think such a key part of this, it's not just what are the boundaries that Aaron and I agree upon that need to be put in place around work, around outside work, opposite sex friendships, but also am I willing to really, truly be honest with myself? I mean, only you and I know as individuals, is this someone that I'm attracted to? Is this someone that I'm having fantasy about, that I have a deep emotional connection? Mm-hmm. You know, am I being serious or secretive? Am I doing things to end up with this person? I mean, that all those are huge red flags. And am I willing to really, truly be aware of that stuff and then have a good brother that I can have accountability with? But more importantly, it's that stuff that I am willing to go to Aaron and say, you know what, I need to think this through. I need help. Let's talk this through. And I think that if we're willing to, as couples, to have these hard conversations, we can get through this stuff. Mm-hmm. We don't have to end like that woman, her testimony.
And don't you think we forget to think long? If we can think long, as you've talked about on past shows, the end objective is to finish together, finish with honor, finish strong. I think when people start changing the rules in the present moment, it's because they want what they want. But if we can help couples remember, what's the end game? What's the end objective? Does this line up with that? If not, don't do it. When we come back, maybe we should revisit a little bit about the whole idea of paranoia and insecurity in the context of marriage. When is this a valid, tough conversation? And when is it that we accept each other's influence? Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, if you've got a story to tell or you want to continue to chime into the conversation, give us a call, 877-933-2484. Troy checked in from South Dakota. He said he will not accept a friend request on Facebook without his wife knowing about it. Hats off to you, Troy. I think that's great wisdom. We'll be back in a minute.
Everything comes alive. Everything comes alive. Everything comes alive.
Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a really, really insightful conversation with Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family. They join us every month, sometimes a couple times a month. This time we've had just a great conversation around the whole, you know, social media blow up around our dear Vice President Pence and his, I say, wise boundaries around his marriage, that he won't dine with another woman unless his wife is there. And we've been talking about why it's worth fighting for your marriage, why it's worth not letting this one particular relationship be up for grabs so we can do what we want to do. But let's take a slightly different angle here for this last segment, if we can, at least for a few minutes, and talk about when there's paranoia, when there's kind of an emotional insecurity in the context of marriage, where one spouse is constantly being accused of dressing in a certain way or trying to get attention from others, and she's not or he's not, but the other one is just very, very insecure. What do you say about a situation like that, and how do you discern if that's the case?
Yeah, you know, Susie, Greg has talked about a lot about a man accepting his wife's influence. I think it's got to go both ways, that as a woman, if I'm continuously bringing up concerns about my husband's behavior around women, you know, I would even ask a very trusted friend, you know, to check out, hey, this is what I'm feeling. What do you think? You know, can you give me feedback on this to see, am I overreacting to this? You know, just simply getting feedback, because if it's a consistent concern and you've gone to him and he's not concerned about it and, you know, is not quite sure where to land at that, go in and get help. Go in and talk to someone, you know, seek the support of someone trusted, a counselor, a pastor, you know, someone, because it definitely can be a paranoia. There's been two times in our married life, we've been talking about this lately with this whole Pence thing, that I have gone to Greg and said, you know, red flag. You know, I encourage you, Greg, to keep the door open. I encourage you just to be careful about what you share. I encourage you, and you know, praise God, he has accepted my influence. And both times we have actually found out on the other side of it that this was an issue or a concern for this other woman, and that it definitely was an area that they were struggling in.
Wow.
Yeah, and what's hard, Susie, about that is that when Aaron first approaches me with that, there's that first natural defensiveness. Well, what are you saying? You don't trust me? We think I'm an idiot? I mean, there's this, that's hard, because usually you're met with, you know, this defensiveness. So beyond that, that's what you have to fight through. And that's what you have to be willing to say, okay, am I willing to really try to understand this? And if it is, like you said, Susie, if it's more that Aaron is being ultra paranoid, if she's being irrational, I mean, if through really trying to understand her, then it would be a situation to say, you know, let's go in and talk to a counselor. I this is serious to me. You matter. And so I'm not seeming to really get what you're saying, or doesn't feel right.
That's
Let's go
really
get help. Mm-hmm.
I love that, because you can see, and I've met women as I've traveled around the nation who feel worn down by it, where they're like, I don't even know what else to do to commit, to communicate that I love them, that I'm not looking, you know. And when they give me examples, they were reasonable examples of you know, going, you know, wearing a shirt where the neckline is just below your chin, and them thinking, you know, you're trying to get attention from other men. It's like, no, I really am not, you know. But you can see.
Well, I mean, I unbutton all four of my top buttons
I
on
just
my
threw
shirt.
Up in
Aaron
my mouth.
Seems to get mad about that. I don't know
the
why.
The layers of gold chains to be drawing attention, you know.
In the hair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why you're cold.
Actually, I have no hair, because grass doesn't grow in a playground. So.
Anyway, but you sure can see that. I love that you both went to the counseling place, because it would be a stressor if left undealt with. That, to me, is like a low-level infection that will weaken you over time, wouldn't it?
Well, and I say, too, exactly what Greg was saying. The message that you want to send to your marriage and to your spouse is that you matter, that you're important, and that I'm not willing to sacrifice this, or to, even if I don't agree with what you're saying, let's go talk about it with someone else, with a counselor, because you matter. You're important to me. You're top priority. And continue to seed that message in everything we say and everything we do.
Mm,
you know, how can we lose with that?
That's so good. Anything else you want to add to that, Greg?
Well, I would, you know, I think one of the opportunities, because, again, we're not saying to cut off all contact with the opposite sex. That's not reality, and we're not encouraging that. One of the things that I've so loved that Aaron and I get to do is build shared social networks. So we have a lot of couple friends. When Aaron has her friends over, that's an opportunity for me to relate appropriately to the opposite sex. So again, to be blessed by Aaron's friends. You know, we, like I said, I have an entire all female staff at Focus on our marriage team. And so I want to differentiate between having a friend with the opposite sex and having a close buddy that's really super playful, that we're sharing intimate details. See, that's what we're saying you shouldn't ever have.
Yeah.
That for there's no reason that a married man would ever have a real close buddy, you know, sharing intimate detail friend with the opposite sex. There is no reason. You couldn't convince me of that. But I have plenty of female friends. A lot of those are you know, at work, and the friends that Aaron has. But it's all open. Aaron has blessed these. There's nothing that we can't talk about. If I'm simply bantering with one of my employees, I will always do that in a group text and include my wife. And that's where we can all have fun and enjoy one another. But it's appropriate. It's in a group. If I have a very specific question, then I will. Aaron knows, and we've talked about this. If I need to ask someone a very specific question, I'll do that. But this is not where I'm going to be playful and definitely not sharing real, you know, intimate details, because that's not appropriate. And so, do you see what I'm saying?
There's a
big difference between Susie, I would consider you one of my friends. In the interactions that you and I have, those include Aaron, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're able to do that versus, hey, if you have a close, a frequent one-on-one contact, you're overly playful, like a buddy, you're sharing intimate details, you need to step back and really reevaluate that, because I don't think that's appropriate.
So, Aaron, would you say then that the number one flag would be when it's not in the open with your spouse, if there becomes anything secretive about it? Would you say that? And then are there any other indicators that you're kind of on the rumble strips?
Yeah, I absolutely 100% think if you are hiding this, why are you hiding it? There's a reason you're hiding it. You either know it's not appropriate, you're ashamed of it. You know, maybe it's just fulfilling this need for secrecy. You know, what is it that is driving not telling your spouse about it? I've had numerous women come to me and confess that, you know what, I'm struggling with this particular man, this relationship. I'm struggling. And many, actually three or four women. And each time, once they said it out loud to someone else, it just died down. It did. And then they went home and talked to their spouse about it. And this is what I'm dealing with. And I want you to know this, because I want 100% transparency. And how can we fight this together? And, you know, you have to be a secure person to hear that. And you might be upset initially, but if they're coming to you and saying, help me, and I want you to know this is where I'm struggling, you know, honor that and come alongside. And if you want to introduce someone else into the picture to, you know, assist them, maybe a friend of the same sex that works with them, you know, or whatever, a counselor, whoever, do that. You know, pray about it. Seek God's wisdom on it, because it is worth it. It is worth fighting for this marriage relationship.
Boy, our time has gone by so fast, and it's time to wrap and pray. There's so much else I'd love to talk with you about. Like, is there ever an instance where a guy and a gal should be Facebook chatting outside of marriage? I don't think there is. And hopefully some of those are obvious. But you guys came so prepared with notes that we didn't even touch. So maybe we need to continue this conversation again one of these other times you come on. I'm wondering, Aaron, if you'd pray. Pray for those listening today, just that they would have an instinct of wisdom about how to navigate these waters.
Mm-hmm. Lord, we come before you, and Jesus, I just ask for just honesty, Jesus, honesty in the marriages that are represented by those that are listening right now. And I just pray that if there is a situation that's occurring right now today, that there's temptation involved, Lord, I pray that you reveal it into the light, 100% blow it open. And Jesus, I pray that the two spouses are able to come together and really seek to understand and seek wisdom and guidance and support one another so they can honor marriage as you've called us to do. Jesus, I pray that over each marriage that is being impacted right now. Lord, thank you for Susie. Thank you for her ministry. We just love you and thank you in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Love you both so much. Thank you for your time and for all that you do to champion marriage and the family. Bless you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susie.
You're just my favorites. Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. Love them.
Everything comes alive. Everything comes alive. Everything comes alive. Everything comes alive. And you. In the evening when my bones are tired, you're my strength and my heart's desire. You're the light when the sun expires. And I remember how far I've come. I'm not lost with you at home. I didn't find you on my own.
Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, my friend Laura Harris-Smith joins us to talk about the 30-day faith detox, how to renew your mind, cleanse your body, heal your spirit. We're going to kind of talk about the logistics behind a faith detox. I can't wait to hear from Laura. So don't go away. Another great hour is up ahead.